Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I'm very, very excited, not only for this week, well, actually for the whole week, but for tonight's guest especially, because he's kicking off the week. It's all music week this week. All of our guests this week are musicians, various singer-songwriters and whatnot, just top-notch all the way around. And, it's cool, man. It's cool. I know I got some emails before. People are like, man, all you have are movie people on anymore. What happened to all the music people? And I'm like, well, you know, I'll tell you honestly, folks, what happened is, the end of the year, that pre-Christmas, and then getting back into January, everybody is pushing, the movies hard. So, but, you know, we want to mix it up. And I want to let everybody know and put everybody's worries to bed on this. We're going to keep a complete mix of music and film people and, you know, various other people and whatnot. We've got all kinds of crazy guests coming on, and it's just real, real awesome. But tonight, man, I really, as many people know, I like all kinds of music, all genres and whatnot. But there is a special place in my heart for after all, I'm a pop artist, right? I like pop and I like electro a lot too. And our new, our guest tonight, not only is really, really good at that, he's got a new single out. He's just a really interesting person. We're going to bring him on here in 1 second. And he's got just a very, very cool, there's a cool track, lead single off of the his new EP, Gravity. Called Same Old You, and he's done it. He's flipped it into an acoustic remix, and it's cool. It's wicked cool. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mac tonight. That's a guy with a moon head from when I was a kid. No, the singer-songwriter, Mac, M-A-K. He happens to be on the show tonight, is what I'm saying. Mac, how are you?
Here I am, Jamie. I'm well. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. You were saying before we came on the air, now you're in New York City, you're in the city, and I saw it on the news, you know, I kind of saw the headline that there's, the Blizzard of Blizzards showed up last night, right?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I'm from the New York area. I've been here my whole life. I'm in Williamsburg,
so you know.
Brooklyn right now. I'm well versed. I'm looking outside to my patio, and honestly, I've never seen this much snow in my life before. And it happened within
wow.
a 16-18 hour period. So there must be 2 feet of snow outside. So
wow.
I'm inside. I've had a lot of practice being inside, as we all have. So I'm looking at it from my window, and that's the way it's going to stay.
I hear you, man. I went to college in Boston, just a little north of the city there, you know, and I grew up in Detroit, but man, I had never seen snow till, you know, you hear people talk, oh, these nor'easters, and I'm like, yeah, okay, old man, what's that about? And then one shows up, and you're like, oh, I should have bought cigarettes, and
boom,
yes. I love to read.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
All those things.
But yeah, I'm trying to make an escape too. I haven't really been doing any traveling, but you said you're in South Florida. I'm heading to Tampa for the Super Bowl next week, and so fingers
nice.
Crossed.
Nice.
So the roads get plowed and. You know, we move on here, but I'm looking forward to wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's every day down here. Although it's kind of right now, the last 2 days, it's one of those, I kind of laugh at everybody down here a little bit because we have what they call the Florida winter front. And,
right.
You know, the cold comes through. By cold, I mean today it was 64. And, you know, people are wearing socks with their flip-flops and, you know, wearing coats and scarves and stuff. And I'm like, I think your people up north having it a little worse.
I know how it is, man. I watch my Florida friends.
It's crazy. They go crazy. Go finish your thought, man.
They do. No, that was it. I have many close friends that have either migrated down from New York to Miami area, or Fort Lauderdale area, or are from there and they get frostbite at 60 degrees. I'm well aware. So you know, look.
Yeah.
As of right now in January, though, or February, whatever we're in at the moment, you guys are winning. So I'm going to come join you.
Yeah. I don't blame you. That's going to be a hell of a game, too. That's cool. What are, welcome, sir. Welcome. Very cool. Very cool. So speaking of, you mentioned, being in inside for a while with the pandemic and all your people okay and everything? Everybody doing all right?
Yeah, you know.
That you know?
Yeah. Yeah, health-wise, I've been very fortunate. Everybody in my circle seems to be doing okay. You know, there are folks on the younger end of the spectrum that have had COVID and been okay, and then my parents are a bit older, and so they really have been quarantined this entire time. They're getting a vaccine in a week or two, and so but they've been super hunkered down. So I've only really seen my parents once over, a year period of time, et cetera. But all in all, I've been very fortunate.
No, I hear you, man. That's good to hear. It's, I'm an old man and I never saw this coming. I was kind of joking about it before it hit. And then, it hit and I was like, well, I was wrong on that. Let's buy paper towels.
We're
all gone by then.
They're out. They're out.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a wild 4 weeks. That was a pretty wild time. Mm. But yeah, we all kind of had to settle into this abnormality that became real life for a long extended period of time, and everyone had to figure out how to cope, how to be productive, and how to work through it,
Absolutely. It's, and I think, it's interesting. For me, I work from home. I'm a painter by trade. I paint pictures of people and stuff. And my wife, she goes to work. She works at a big makeup place. And that first bit, they were closed down, so she was at home. People were asking me, they're like, so is your life any different, because you worked from home before. And I said, yeah, because my wife's here. It's hard to get things done,
But
I've been busy this year. I don't think I've been as busy since previous years. And I don't know if that's because everybody else is off, or what the deal is. How about you as a musician, as a creative musician? This year, you just been working on new work and whatnot? Or are you missing, playing out? How is it affecting you as a musician, I should say?
Great question. I think that creatives have a unique opportunity and have had a unique opportunity throughout this period of time. I've never had a more productive period of time in my life than this past year.
Right.
And really what happened, there's several reasons for that, but what happened was my first EP, my first project that I ever put out, which was the Gravity Project, which Same Old You was the lead single on, which we can talk about the acoustic remix that I just released. I released that in March, April time. So right as the quarantine was happening, I dropped my first project. I was all excited about it, and I celebrated with a cupcake on my couch by myself, kind of thing. And that was it. But you look, you I don't make music, you know, I make music because of what it does for me and how it, you know, feeds my soul and my passion. And I don't, you know, you can't do it for the external validation. It's nice to, it's great to share. It's great to be able to get feedback and reaction on it. And ultimately your goal, my goal is to reach people with it and to connect to people on it. But you have to be okay with just living with it yourself and proud of it yourself. And so, you know, through social media and through everything else, I was able to, you know, to feel the love on it. But
right.
I was doing it from my couch, and it wasn't the same experience as what it would have been otherwise. So that being said, you know, like that album took me, it was probably the culmination of a year's worth of work. And I wasn't making music prior to doing this. I have a pretty kind of unconventional story where I've been an entrepreneur, and I've been kind of in business for, you know, most of my career. And this music thing kind of happened by accident. So for me, everything was happening very quickly, and that year-long project was really my first time creating something. I just kind of set the marker to, you know, that this was something I was challenging myself to do, and I, you know, a lot of things came together for that to happen. But anyway, once it came out, I was just kind of like, wow, I'm just happy that thing is out in the world, and it's an accomplishment, and I feel really proud about it, and I'm going to just sit back for a minute because I'm exhausted. And then the world shut down, and I was like, well, fuck, what do I do?
No, you're fine.
Not what do I do with myself, but like, hold on a second, like something, you know, the
right.
world's kind of off kilter, something's off here. And then so I reached out to my producer Jan, who I've made all my stuff with. He's an absolute genius, and I'm extremely lucky to have him as a collaborator. And I basically said, like, what's next? You know, I want to make the next song. I want to make the next track, whatever the next thing is in, you know, in the evolution. And so we made a new single, and that single ended up becoming, let's make another one. And I don't really make things in singularity. I kind of have a hard time decoupling them from a larger idea or a larger project. And so my second EP was birthed in quarantine, and it's done, and it's rolling out next month. So that's been the evolution. But I made this new project in about a third of the time frame that it took me to make the first one, just because I was super, super focused. And I got into this creative zone. And my point about, you know, creatives having this unique opportunity is that, like, you know, when everybody got shaken up by this thing, yes, musicians can't tour right now, and so the outside world, like, and the excitement from that and the income from that goes away. But, you know, for most people, they're working in a job or in a profession, and they have a family, and they have hobbies, and maybe they have hobbies, but whether they have passions or not is another story. Few people have passions. I'm lucky that music, you know, I found music and it is that. But for creatives, when the world goes upside down and all of a sudden you have 24 hours in a day to fill in the same space, and you have people on top of you, or you're by yourself or whatever it is, and you're starting to go mad, being able to pour that into your creative medium is a massive blessing. And I happen to have a setup in my apartment that I have a home studio. My studio is downstairs. I have a space that is mine that I feel very, very comfortable in. And like I said, super, super productive from it.
That's awesome, man. That is awesome. And you're absolutely right, you know, and it's the cool thing about having, and anybody listening, I don't care what kind of business you're in, or what your passion is, you know, what it is you want to be doing, if it's possible to set up a corner of the apartment or whatever, you know, and just have that as your work area, or play area, as the case may be, but some place where you can get serious without distraction and whatnot, it is so night. Man, you can wake up 2 in the morning and, you know, say, hey, I got an idea. Let's work on it here, you know, and that's so liberating.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Bellbay Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
I wanted to ask you, Mac, you mentioned it, and I want people to know because it's pretty cool. Tell us about, you know, your story, you know, how you got involved in music, you know, and this is something you were doing as a youngster, right? No, I'm kidding. You tell a story. It's very interesting.
So growing up, I started playing the piano at a very young age. I think I was three. Mm-hmm. I played the drums. I was the concert master of the orchestra, and I dabbled and I sang in the choir in high school. And so I had this musical side and inclination to me, and my parents kind of, that was familiar to them, and they encouraged that. And then at the same time, I had this jock side to me, and I was big into basketball. I started playing football when I was 7 years old, and I ended up in high school with a lot to do, and I had to start to choose what to do. And at the time period, you know, I just happened to be as a 17-year-old or whatever in this phase where, you know, being captain of a football team was the cool thing. You know, being concert master of the orchestra, probably not. probably not as cool. And, you know, I look back on that to say that, like, I wasn't in touch. I wasn't really in touch with or embracing or knew about the artistic side of myself. I really liked music. It from the standpoint of, like, playing classical music and being in the choir, like, it was cool, but it wasn't quite all there. And then, like I said, I realized very quickly that, you know, football was a thing for me. I ended up getting into an Ivy League school by playing football. So it was, and football is very demanding. And so that kind of took over. But when I got to Penn, Penn has some of the best a cappella choirs in the country. There's a choir called UPenn Off the Beat. And I remember, like, I would either go after practice and I would sneak into their rehearsal or whatever, and I would just be like, shit, man, I'm missing out on this. Like, this is an amazingly talented group of young people, and I'm, you know, ramming my head into people. And don't get me wrong, like, football filled an entirely different part of my life. But that was kind of, there was this disjointed element. And I was a jock, and I was a student, and I was busy, and I was just trying to kind of get through stuff. And I was an avid, you know, music lover. I, you know, consumed music voraciously. But that was that. And I kind of, you know, went on after college into my professional life, and I went into sports marketing because I was, you know, passionate about sports. I moved to London. I worked for a global agency over there and, you know, worked on stuff like the World Cup and David Beckham and that kind of stuff. And I came back. I worked for the National Football League, doing their global sponsorship stuff, and that was like my dream job at the time. And then I went to business school and blah, blah, blah. And I was kind of following this path of, you know, in business that was very familiar to what I had seen growing up. My dad's an entrepreneur, and to what I knew and to the people around me. And cool. And I got the chance to launch my own innovation lab and consultancy, which essentially is consulting to Fortune 500 companies about their future, new products, new strategies, et cetera. And I, while going through that, can you hear me, Pablo?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I'm riveted. I am riveted.
The AirPods. You're never sure sometimes whether you're on or you're off with the AirPods. I'm glad you're still with me. So I got the chance to launch my own business as, you know, as an entrepreneur. And mm-hmm. So I launched Skylabs about 6 years ago, and I just threw myself, you know, full in to, you know, building a consulting business. And we worked with Nike and Ford and HP and Virgin and all these big splashy companies. And, you know, I was in consulting, and I was trying to grow a business with a business partner and, you know, living the entrepreneurial life, which is one of the hardest things in the world to do, to build a business. And I have immense amount of respect for entrepreneurs. And what happened during that time period was, about 3 years ago, one of my best friends, Jared Feldman, is a really successful young tech entrepreneur in New York. And we had done some work together, and we became friends from working together. And so, like, a year and a half into our friendship, he came over to my apartment in Brooklyn, and he started playing me these beats. And I asked him where they came from, and he was like, "These are mine." And I said, what are you talking about? I've known you for this long. I have no idea. And he was like, "Yeah, I went to the Clive Davis School of Music at NYU, and I own a studio with my partner in Bushwick, and we've worked with the Dreamville crew and blah, blah, blah," like all this whole background of stuff. And he was like, "Hey, you know, I need somebody to put some top line down over some of these beats." And I said, "Well, look, I've never made music before. I sang in choir when I was 17 years old."
Right.
And he was like, "Cool." So he tells me next day, he goes, "Send me your musical influences." So I go through Spotify, and I'm, you know, I sent him probably 20 songs, everything from like Guns N' Roses to The Weeknd. and it was a eclectic mix of stuff. So I go link up with him on a Thursday night. We're like pre-gaming before we go out in New York City. And he starts chopping up one of these weekend songs that I sent him, and he was making a beat out of it. And he was like, all right, well, let's make a track. And I said, well, how do we make a song? He goes, let's just start writing it. So we opened up like a hack pad or whatever we were working on at the time, came up with a concept and a theme, and just started typing some lyrics. And I said, well, where does the melody come from? He said, just start singing it. So I just started singing it, and something came out. And, you know, I was super into it at the time, but, like, the night went on, and we went out that night, and, like, you know, I woke up the next morning, and in my inbox was this, like, pretty polished demo of what we had done, and the beat was incredible. And so I was kind of captivated by this, and he was like, let's get in the studio tonight and record it. So we went to his studio, which a bunch of artists had recorded in, and the minute I heard my voice through a recording microphone, something instantaneously clicked. I was just hooked. I had never heard anything. Like, I'd never heard myself sound that good before. And I didn't even sound good at the time. Looking back on it, I sounded like shit. But to me, at the time, I was like, I just the way the microphone captured my voice, it just struck right back at me. And so we made the song, and it was amazing to me. And, like, looking back on it, you know, what your first demo sounds like. But it was cool. It was cool that we did that. It was cool that we experienced that, and it lit a fire in me that I really had no idea where that would go. But I remember I went home the next day. I called up the dude at Guitar Center. I said, send me down whatever you need to a starter kit to put a home studio in to my one bedroom apartment in Manhattan at that point. Dude, and I was like, right. Deliver it. The dude shows up with a delivery, and I got two monitors and an interface and whatever, and I just hopped on GarageBand at the time, and I started making songs. I started making songs, and they were terrible. And that was, you know, 2.5-3 years ago. And there's a lot more to the story to catch you up on, but that's essentially how it was. And I kind of, you know, like I said, I backdoored into it because of my best friend. But the opportunity that came out of that I didn't necessarily see at the time was, A, I needed it. There was something that was missing from me. I was I was up all night with work. I had so much stress on my plate trying to build this business, taking bullshit from clients. And the more stuff that was piling up, the more I found that I would kind of retreat to this creative outlet of, like, 2 hours a night became 3 or 4 hours a night, and it started to become a regular occurrence. And I found a few things. One, that the more I did the creative stuff, the sharper I got in business. And so I would go into these new business meetings, or I would go into a strategy session, and my brain was just firing in a different way, in a sharper, with a clearer sense. I was just thinking faster than I previously was. So it was clearly feeding something in me, like, in totality. And then, two, I was extremely fortunate that as a mentor, I had my best friend who happened to be a musical genius. Like, and I don't use that word very lightly, but I've had geniuses that have been involved in my development. And so, you know, every third or fourth Saturday, we'd hang out and we'd just make music. And I was getting to watch an incredible producer, you know, in his DAW, making stuff from scratch.
You know?
Yeah, and he's such an amazing teacher too.
Up.
And so he fostered that in me. And then, like, I'm a pretty quick learner, and so I would take these nuggets and I would just, you know, run with them.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and that's the thing, and it's interesting because you say it so you put it so eloquently. It's been hard for me to express this to people. But when I tell them, you know, figure out what it is you're supposed to be doing and then do it. That doesn't mean stop doing everything else. But what you'll find is when you find that nugget of what you're supposed to be doing, everything else kind of just starts clicking into place. And I don't think it's a universe or an external thing making that happen. I think, like you said, you're thinking in a different way. You're using muscles that you're supposed to be using. You know what I mean? And you, that applies to other things. And it's and the other thing you mentioned that I would just scream from the rooftops. So many people I know have they're technical people in the sense they know how to do something. That's all I mean. I don't mean that they're good with electricity or something.
Developer.
Anyway,
right.
Developer, right. They're good at their job and everything, and then they see the guy down the hall, the boss, and they say, well, I can do this 20 times better than that schmo. But what they don't understand is everything else that guy's doing, sales, development, keeping them having a paycheck, all kinds of stuff. And then so they start a business, and it's a nightmare because, well, I didn't know I had to do all this stuff too, this isn't fun at all. I just want to be doing what I'm doing, And it's hard. It's hard for people, and people don't realize that. Here you are.
Yeah.
You're doing this, and then you discover your passion, or you let it out the gate, so to speak. How cool is that, man? But the cool thing is also how cool is it to be able to make the call to the Guitar Center and say, get me an order down here. That's pretty cool, too.
That's also, I operate like that, too, though. If I'm going to, I make a decision, I move on something, I wasn't wasting any time, at that point. But what I'll say is I have had advantages in this process that, many young, upstart, independent artists don't have, and that's just a few more years of experience, a few more years worth of earning, having a little bit of capital behind me to be able to do some stuff. It's very different than where I would have been at, at 17 years old. So there was the ability to be opportunistic from that standpoint and lean into it. But when it comes down to kind of navigating that path, I mean, what I can say is that the entrepreneurial skill set, by the way, in building a business is 100% applicable to being an independent artist. I didn't even realize that at the point because I wasn't thinking about the business side of music when I was sitting in my apartment at 3 a.m., smoking weed 3 years ago, just messing around, and, I'd never made anything real.
Right.
But once I started to get into build a brand, go to market strategy, that kind of stuff, I realized I'm now running another small business. But my experience in Skylabs, and this dates back to I'm very lucky in the role models that I've had and the exposure I've had around me. To your point about being the boss and what those responsibilities are, I saw what my dad had on his plate every night when we, come home at dinner and we would discuss the business. There are a million things that he's juggling, 50, 60 people whose lives he's juggling, all with these different, disciplinary responsibilities that he had in being an entrepreneur. So I saw that Jared, the friend who I mentioned that sparked this music thing in me, was 30 years old and running a 50-person company. He's a genius, crazy entrepreneur. I also don't think that it's an accident that Jared was also a genius in music, because it's just, genius in my mind is kind of like, it's just a matter, you can be a genius and it's a matter of how it's applied. His mind works in a different way, and he's applied it, he's been talented enough to apply it in these different areas. But the responsibility of being able to, be an entrepreneur, et cetera, all of those things have kind of, they've stuck around, or I've used those learnings in what I'm doing now. But the energy that I get from music is the key. If that wasn't there, a lot of this other stuff would be way less meaningful. And to your point about, once you find it, it's kind of, it's the thing that you want to do. I can unequivocally say now, if there isn't 1 hour in the day and I have to spend that 1 hour, the only thing I want to do is music.
Right. And it's hard to describe to people who haven't had that And it doesn't have to be in the arts, ladies and gentlemen. It can be whatever, you know. Hey, maybe you're just real excited about making pasta, you know. When you're in the zone and that, you know, and whatever it is happens, and a lot of people who've listened to my show for a long time know that I've lived a pretty fast and hard life, but I've never come across anything that is good as that feeling of, oh, it's just, everything's just firing and it's just working, man. And yeah, you know, making some money and whatnot is pretty good too, but that's a nice perk, but it ain't the same as for me, as it is to, you know, just be in that creative zone and whatnot. I like it. I like it a lot. It's nice to be able to get bottle service when you go to a club, you know?
Yes.
And be standing at the bar. But yes, at the same time, it ain't the end of all be all. You know, not for me anymore, at least. You know, I'm an old man now. I can't be doing that.
Not
I
for
like
me.
Being fed by
not
11.
For me. Not for me anymore. I mean, I've dated plenty of bottle girls. You know, I get it. It's you know, look, I'll say this: the connection to music, the only tie over there is that, like, spending a lot of time in the New York club world, and also just in different cities internationally. That kept my tie to music because it never left me. Like, music was always part in the background of what I was doing, but you know, I'd be in these clubs that were very, you know, they were on the forefront of what was popular and trendsetting, and so I saw, you know, what hip hop was emerging in the 2000s, and I saw in 2010, and I saw the house movement very up close and personal, and so like when I would internalize that music. And I would be in a club and I would either be dancing or whatever it was. I was like, this is a very natural environment for me. And, you know, performance and being encapsulated in music, there's something too. I didn't do anything with it at the time, but, you know, I realize now that it was just feeding that part of my personality that was there.
Absolutely.
You know, ultimately was one of the things to build off of.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming Smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form Smiles.
Rocks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, another thing that doesn't surprise me either, hearing about your history in sports and whatnot, one of the things, I'm telling you, I have seen this happen so many times. I've met people or know people and whatnot in the art world. And you talk to, and the people that really hustle and get things done, they have a sports background. And they realize this very important thing that a lot of people don't get. No matter what you're doing, if you do it, repetition, you know, in sports, this is, you practice, you get good at something. And that is so true in the creative world as well. You know, you have to keep that, those muscles going, you know, it's just part of it.
Yep.
Totally worth it. So, you know, that's, you know, you've got the trifecta going on there, you know. Great people around, good team, you know, it's easy for some people to make the touchdown, but it's a lot easier if they've got a good team on the field with them, as you know, you know, the background and then just the talent too, because you're really good at what you do, you know, and I'm sure that just didn't happen. Yeah, man, I mean, you got to work, you know, I tell young people all the time, they're like, oh, I want to do what you're doing. And I'm like, well, okay, get ready for an 18-hour day. We call that a Tuesday around here, you know, what it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know.
For sure. Absolutely.
Parties and pretty girls all the time. Yeah, you know, that might happen once or, you know, every so often, but that ain't you ain't going to get nothing done if that's all you're doing. That's all I'm saying.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, I've been very blessed, you know, to have talent in a few different areas. I knew when I was younger, you know, that there was a talent within music. So when this started happening, you know, I think one of the things that has benefited me is that I'm just audacious enough to think that I can do something. You know, I might have thought that I was a little bit better than I was, which is the thing that, you know, humility comes into play, and it came into play it's part of a process in music, period. But once I basically said, you know what, I think I can do this. I put a stake in the ground and said, I am going to challenge myself to make an album. And I had no idea what that meant. I had absolutely no idea what that entailed. And I thought I was better, way better than I was. And I say that only from a standpoint now of having put a lot of the work in, to know the difference. But that audacity in me, Not everyone has that. Not everyone has a certain risk tolerance. And a certain confidence. I've been lucky to have had some success in my life, but even still, I made that decision in a moment in time where my business was really challenging me in ways that was pushing me to the brink, and I was fed up, and so. These two worlds kind of started to bump up against each other. And for a moment, I just said, I can't fucking take this anymore. And I just jumped, you know, I jumped down this music path. And then once you know, you talked about like the external forces and that kind of stuff. I'm not a super spiritual person, but what I can tell you is how you direct your energy definitely is a reflection of the results that you get. And as soon as I made the decision that this is what I was going to do, and I directed the full force of my energy, and when I direct the full force of my energy, things happen. Shit just started to happen very, very quickly. And the point that I'll say was I got an email from a good buddy of mine from college. I sent out an email, a note, a part of a distribution for the when I put out the single on Friday. And he wrote me back, and he was just like, you know, these are the nice things that happen. You know, I haven't talked to Kevin in 10 years, but he wrote me, and he was like, look, man, I'm really inspired by what you're doing. You're a really thoughtful person, and I think that story and the story of basically somebody following an unconventional path after being in what seemingly was a conventional path and having the conviction to do that is something that people need to hear. And you're living that example right now. And again, this is coming from someone who went to an Ivy League school, you know, that went into business. And I have so many of those people around me, and they're great people. But when I made the decision to do this music thing, you don't think that there was, you know, 80% of the people around me were like, what the fuck? They were like, what this dude's off his rocker.
That's an option.
This dude is off of his rocker. And I probably was to a certain extent, but it's starting to make more sense to everybody now, I think. And I'm happy. So that's, you know, that's what matters.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you know, and it is inspiring, and that's why I'm so glad you're on the show and whatnot, and people hear this. And it's never too late, you know, to find that, or even if you know what it is, you know, you have the courage to try it out, man. And especially if you're in a position where, you know, okay, yeah, you know, when the world settles down, you could go on that big cruise and spend 15, 20 grand or whatever, go to the Maldives or whatever. Or if you're not, you know, if you haven't found that, why not make that call to Guitar Center if music's what you want to be doing, you know, and check that out. You know, it's all I'm saying. I think it's very inspiring.
100%.
Now,
100%.
Tell us about Same Old You, but the acoustic remix, because I really like the track Same Old You off the Gravity EP and whatnot. And I really like the Same Old You acoustic remix. And you have a video for this, right? I think it's okay to do. I'm pretty sure. I got the okay from Amanda, from the fine folks over at Trend PR. They're awesome. About
they
the video.
Great.
You have a video for it as well.
Coming Wednesday, yeah. It's coming Wednesday. Excited.
Nice.
Very
nice. So that's cool. So you had this track, and then you said, you know what, I'm going to approach it a different way. And was that kind of, was there any trepidation in that? Because, I mean, it's such a good track as it is, you know?
Good question. No, there wasn't trepidation. You know, I think... A few people that, you know, I'm just very close to that have been my mentors in this music thing have been very encouraging of experimentation, you know, and discovery.
Okay.
And I've taken that to heart, and I like diversity in general. You know what I mean? I like diverse genres. I like making music that fuses stuff, and so. And I like pop music, you know, too, when it gets like a good pop song, whatever the genres that tie into it are. And so, like, you know, my first EP was about creating my sound, which Jan and I did. And so Gravity, the single, is a very different feeling track than The Weeknd, but there is kind of this retro synth pop, synth wave tie that, you know, is around much of the production. Just some of it's a little bit darker and some of it's a little bit lighter. It kind of has these different shades to it. And Same Old You was the song from that album that just like kind of universally people liked, You know, it was my mom's favorite song. it was my mom's favorite song. It was my ex-girlfriend's favorite song. I knew that there was a reason why I put it out when I did, because it was a more universal and approachable pop song, and I loved it. And so what I decided to do basically was I had already finished this next EP. So I recorded the same old acoustic a few months ago, and I basically had to kind of sit. I've been done with my EP for a little while, and I've been sitting on it only for it takes a lot of work to get all of your go-to-market stuff in place, but B, the end of last year was a total shit show. You know, the end of the year is always a bad time to be releasing stuff and holidays and everything else. But just with everything going on, it was very clear that I needed to move the EP, you know, into the next year. And so I got restless, like I always, you know, do in that time period. And, you know, me and my vocal coach, and I have an amazing vocal coach, shout out Chris, an absolute musical genius, and he is responsible for my progression in my voice. You know, he was like, what would this sound like as an acoustic version? And I thought about it, and then I was like, well, this is the right song to do it with. And this guitarist that he gigs with, also a Berklee School of Music guy, Neil, he made the intro to. And, you know, that was the brief. Neil came over. We had a, you know, he learned the song, but we had a jam session, and we just fucked it up, you know. We got into it, and we chopped the thing up and made it into what I think is a interesting and kind of unconventional acoustic. I didn't want to make just like a regular acoustic treatment. I wanted there to be some uniqueness to it, just like I think I try to find in the rest of my music.
Well, absolutely, man. And it works so well. I really dug it, man. I heard it, and I was like, you know, I played it, and I was like, God dang, this is fantastic. Why don't we've got queued up. Let's play for everybody. Sound cool?
Cool. Yeah.
Here it is, everybody. Check this out. This is Mac. This is Same Old You, the acoustic remix.
It all starts with the same old things, played out with the same old game. Oh, your fighter that I can't restrain, your baggage I cannot claim. No, 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 no. Stuck standing in the pouring rain, swept up in your hurricane. Whoa. To say, but they're so untrue. That really sounds like you. With you, love was a plan and a promise we made for two. And there's no redo. It's the same old you. It's the same old you. I'm really done fucking with you. After everything we've been through, I'm really done fucking with you. You, 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 you. I'm really done fucking with you. After everything we've been through, I'm really done fucking with you. You.
Save all of the hurt and blame. No, this time won't be the same.
No, 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 no.
Your fire that I can't contain, so light it up, let it burn in flames. Deja vu, seen it before when you think you could play it cool. Girl, I ain't no fool. I'm through. I'm playing a part in a love that's a hoodoo. There's nothing more to do. The same old you. While you wave your white flag, ain't no retribution, you can never come back. With you, I've really started thinking through what you do.
Wow, what a track, ladies and gentlemen. I told you, see, I wasn't pulling your leg at all, folks. That's same old you, the acoustic remix by Mac. Now, Mac, we were talking a little bit off mic. This is out, right? People can pick this up, like, now.
Yes, sir. Pick it up, stream it, click it, Spotify, Apple Music, all that stuff. So if you search Mac, M-A-K, and then same old you, it'll be there.
Nice. I love it. You know, it's so cool that we I know it's easy in the world to focus on, you know, you watch the news and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe it. I want to go to Mars. Give me a rocket. But at the same time, man, you know, it is so cool. Here you are, a musician, and you put out this single, and it's available worldwide. You know, it's that used to be a real involved process. You know, there was pressing, all kinds of stuff. Man, so we live in a real nice time for stuff like that. It's awesome. Hey, folks, speaking of the Spotify, we have a Spotify direct link on our show page, to Mac Spotify page. I suggest you, hey, this is something for anybody. We also have his Instagram link and YouTube link as well. But we live in an algorithm world. It's, you know, it's just how it is. If you dig somebody, you dig a musician, an independent film, you know, if you come across the best baker in town and you really dig what they're doing, like and share their social media. You know, it's so important. And for musicians, add them to your playlists and stuff. That helps so much with the algorithms and resetting the algorithms and whatnot. It's just super important. So definitely do that. You know, man, it's very cool. Yeah. Mac, I know we're kind of up against the time, but I wanted to ask you. I know we're focused tonight on same old you, the acoustic remix. Are the gears turning for the next single or the next project musically?
Yeah, man. 100% in full gear. So Lucid Dream is the next album, and the first single Inside My Head is slated for March 5th, so just about a month away. And then Lucid Dream will be rolling out kind of from March to June with three or four singles on it. I'm super excited about it, man. I think it's just the evolution of, you know, me just putting another year worth of everything I have into this. And, you know, again, working with my producer, Yana, I think we've created something really special. And I'm just excited to see where it goes, man. You know, riding the wave and kind of seeing the building blocks work as you go, even though there's, you know, could be some – the small steps sometimes when you're starting out, but even then when you start to see some of the medium-sized steps come into play, you know, it's exciting. So that, you know, same old you, the acoustic remix that it dropped on Friday, it, you know, that thing has 25,000 streams on it now already, which is, you know, and I can see to your point about like the way it used to be in pressing records and stuff. Well, now I can just look into an app and just see what's going on, and you know, the power of the digital ecosystem now, like, you know, that thing moved around, but you never know, you know, it could not move around. You have to keep doing this stuff, keep putting out music, to your point, getting the algorithm on your side by getting engagement. And, you know, I have, what you need to do is have a steady stream of stuff. And so I have a backlog that I'm ready to start firing out that I think is going to make for a very fun 2021.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Shaking the trees, I call it. Shaking the trees. you know, and, that's what you got to do. Get the movement out there sometimes, you know. In my world, it's kind of funny. People are like, man, you sell on eBay? I'm like, yeah, man. And they're like, well, does that make it? I said, what that does is that's great advertising. Everybody who buys a painting of mine on eBay, about 9 times out of 10 will order commissioned work, other stuff. So in my world, definitely worth doing. But sometimes what that means is you got to put new stuff on eBay all the time. You know what I mean? So you have to take some time and put new product out there to shake the trees, get that, you know, get the movement happening. It's just part of it, you know. It's part of, you keep that, the ball doesn't move down the field on its own. You know?
It doesn't. But that hunger, yeah, it's a lot of work. It's like, you know, I've never worked harder at anything in my life than what I'm doing right now. But that being said, there's a fire in that where, you know, I'm taking a songwriting class right now with Ryan Tedder, who's, you know, one of the songwriting gods. And, you know, I'm spending my month of January doing that. So I've made 3 new songs over the last 2 weeks, and I, you know, they're pretty good. And so I keep making music because I love doing it, and I'm, you know, learning more and more as I go. So it's kind of like, you know, it makes it easier to fill the eBay store, you know?
I gotcha, man. Well, Matt, it was such a pleasure meeting you and whatnot. I've made a new friend, and I'm going to stay right in touch because when Lucid Dream drops, I definitely want to have you back on the show, you know, to talk about it and whatnot. And you're just fascinating, very, very inspiring. And you know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Keep doing what you're doing, man. You're real, real good at it. You know, inspires the heck out of me.
The encouragement means the world, you know?
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be on the show. I know we went a little long, but, you know, like I said, you're fascinating to talk to. Couldn't be helped, ladies and gentlemen. Just couldn't be helped. And I'm sure you guys know. Well, we're right up against the time. But this episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast. We're going to push it out on all the various social media platforms and on all the podcasting platforms. Believe it or not, no, I did not know this, but there's a whole bunch of them. We're on all of them. It's like 260 or something of them. And, you know, the biggies, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, you know, Apple Podcasts, all of that stuff, Pandora, Spotify. And I just want to thank everybody who listens. You know, there's a reason that happens. It's all you listeners. So be sure to, you know, listen however you'd like. And, you know, also be sure to check out our advertisers and sponsors. Use their codes. There's always a code. You can save a couple bucks, you know. And with that savings, I suggest go pick up Same Old You, the acoustic remix, you know. How about that? It's a win-win, ladies and gentlemen. It's a win-win. Very cool. We will be back. We'll be back. Well, we won't be back to the public tomorrow because we started our Patreon only. We have 2 of the shows of those a month now, and tomorrow's the first one of that. I have been real resistant to do that. My wife's been on me about it, but we did it and got everything in place and doing that. So to the public, we will be back Wednesday. So we will see you then. We've got a really interesting singer-songwriter coming on from my hometown of Detroit. And he does kind of a neo-soul R&B type thing that I really dig. So that'll be the exciting show on Wednesday. I hear you, computer. The computer's giving me the business here. Anyhow, that will be our show tonight. So thanks for tuning in. And Mac, thank you again for taking time to be on the show. You're awesome.
Thanks so much, brother. I appreciate it. I look forward to the next one.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.